This is Karen Hunter, and welcome to The Hub. I had this conversation on the show, with the very first black woman, I'm going to say global majority member, who owns a marijuana dispensary in Colorado. Her name is Wanda James. She's the CEO of Simply Pure Dispensary. Welcome back. Welcome to The Hub.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes. So, you know, we just scratched the surface because you were running in and I tried to get everything in, but this is worthy of a real deep dive. Again, marijuana has never been my thing. I grew up, you know, believing that I'm going to just share the story why I feel this way that I do. So one of my best friends, she's a brilliant, brilliant human being. She was my best friend from college. When we were going to college, I never smoked or drank or anything because I have a particular kind of personality. And I just felt like adding anything to it would just not be a good thing. Right. Because I'm already unfiltered. I say anything. I do anything. I don't need any, you know, help. So she would say, I'm not, you know, they passed the joint or the coke or whatever. And she'd go, no, thank you. And they're like, you just following after Karen. So it became a thing for her to kind of liberate herself from, like, you know, being a follower. Right. And so she really started smoking a lot of weed. And she smoked so much of it that she would call me like odd times, you know, and we'd have conversations where I didn't know what she was talking about. And I'm like, you're smoking.
It's like, where are you going with
this? Right, you're smoking. I'm not with you.
Where are you going? Right.
So in my mind, I feel like, you know, all things are beneficial. All things are permissible, not all things are beneficial. That some of us don't have a stop. And some of us need to know what moderation looks like. Fair enough. I think any addiction, anything that you can't stop doing, you're addicted to.
Yep.
So I'm never going to be for that.
Yep.
That said... Yep. As a thing, she got me into Behold a Pale Horse, and I'm just like reading back then, you know, because she's from another place, and it became for me a crusade about power, because there are countries that would be liberated overnight if they could just grow hemp, cannabis, and make an industry out of it.
Yep.
And I just knew that the prohibition was around power and keeping people from power. So I changed my view on it. I've never smoked in my entire life, and I never will. Yep. That's my personal choice. Yep. But I will always crusade for people having the power to grow and sell and be a part of this.
Exactly.
This cannabis.
Exactly.
So Wanda James, when was your first experience with cannabis?
So, you know, I mean, honestly, I was 16. And I want to say this, and I don't want this to come off as sounding at all arrogant or wherever it's going to go, but I am a pothead, and I am proudly so. And for me, I've always preferred cannabis to alcohol. And now as I've gotten older, I mean, I'll have two glasses of wine and my stomach hurts the next day. My head is hurting. And to me, that feels like a poisoning of your body. But when I smoke cannabis or if I ingest cannabis, I don't have those same types of feelings and issues. Now, once again, cannabis has become very different because we understand this plant now. So you tell me how you want to feel, and we can actually dial in this plant to make you feel like you want to feel. If you're somebody that has anxiety, we can help lower that anxiety level. If you're somebody who is depressed, we can make you feel joyful. If you are somebody that has not had sleep in 2 days and you just really need to get some sleep tonight, we can help you sleep. If you are somebody that is going through chemotherapy and you can't stop throwing up and keeping food down, we can help you do that. And once again, with oil and everything else for children, we're helping with epilepsy and tumors that we're seeing being decreased, as well as anything neurological, it seems to work now with the cannabis oil. So MS, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, we're starting to see this work. And in Colorado, because Colorado is such a massive test market, I mean, the industry is in full bloom there, we're testing this stuff, and it is working.
So you're a veritable George Washington Carver. Botanist.
Well, you know, we're botanists. And at this point, we need it to be federally legal so that we can actually do medicinal trials.
Right.
Israel is way ahead of us.
Israel, Canada.
Canada just blew past everybody. They're just like, forget it. We're just going to legalize.
Right.
Israel has been testing for years. The doctors coming out of Israel are doing some amazing things.
We have an opioid crisis.
Yeah,
we've been talking about this.
Yeah.
And you know, you talk about the war on drugs. All of a sudden now it's an opioid health crisis.
Oh.
Before it was lock them up, right?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
We all know about that. We know it's racist, right?
Yep.
We know that the system is designed to incarcerate black people. And,
yep.
and you know, there's been a blueprint on the table for a while to do that since
yep.
the abolishment
exactly.
of slavery, right? So
that was abolished? What year
no,
was that?
Well, I mean, you know, and we can have that discussion,
yep.
but you know, ultimately, the sophistication and mm-hmm. by which we move in the world, we have to be able to master the system. So to
mm-hmm.
me, it's like, if this is illegal,
mm-hmm.
you know, let's, instead of doing what the Kennedys did, because we're not the Kennedys,
yep.
We're not going to be able to bootleg
yep.
and do things underground
yep.
and have a pathway to the
yep.
White House.
Yep.
It's just not going to be
yep.
the case for us. So,
yep.
and it's not fair. But it's how it is. So how do we navigate? Do we all move to Colorado? Like, I feel like, you know, there has to be a movement that allows us to gain power and control over this sector.
So you know what? It's happening. By the way, I'd be really happy if a whole bunch of black people moved to Colorado. That would be awesome. But I think that it is happening. And I'm seeing these amazing young people. And I'm getting old, so everybody is young to me at this point.
Stop saying that, because that oil will keep you alive forever. No.
Yeah.
Wanda James. Yes, you're going to be 150.
I hope so. But I'm seeing these amazing young people that are coming out of college, that are lawyers, that are doctors, that are activists, that are business people, that are, I mean, even the group that brought us into New Jersey, I mean, a bunch of young activists that says, you know, we're not going to let this license go to, you know, all white, all male, all the time. Here in New York City, there is a group of young people that are doing some amazing things that are changing the governor's mind and working throughout politics.
I don't know why Phil Murphy's on the bubble with that. He shouldn't even be on the bubble.
Well,
you talking about Jersey?
Oh no!
Oh, New York.
Both.
Andrew Cuomo and Phil Murphy on the
they're coming around.
Okay.
I mean, Phil Murphy has come all the way around.
Okay.
He's all about it and wants to make it happen. I mean, Cynthia Nixon changed the conversation here with Cuomo. So we are seeing these things happen, and it's being born out of negativity because of all of the arrest and different things. But now that it's being born, we're seeing all these amazing things happen with it. And I mean, it's moving. It's happening. There are the Women Grow events that we have. I mean, you know, 250, 500 women coming together to talk about entrepreneurism and how this
Where
is going
to
work.
Where can we go to find the Women Grow
WomenGrow.org.
WomenGrow.com. WomenGrow.com. It's national.
It's national.
Well, where it's legal.
Well, it's national everywhere, because Women Grow actually shows women how to get involved in this from an entrepreneurial level, has women who have children that have different issues that they're connecting. And the best thing about Women Grow is the chair happens to be a black woman, the CEO happens to be a Latina, and the executive vice president happens to be a black woman. So, I mean, these are the things
leading.
That we are starting to do, and it's going to be a big deal. You had the opportunity to meet one of my partners, Al Harrington, NBA,
of course.
NBA ball player, who is partnered with us in New Jersey, that owns Viola Extracts. So now we're seeing our multimillionaires getting involved in this and investing
yeah.
in cannabis. So it's definitely happening, but not fast enough.
Okay, so if you're not a multimillionaire,
mm-hmm.
and we're talking with Wanda James, CEO of Simply Pure Dispensary, which is in Colorado. She's the first African-American to own a dispensary. What does that mean, first of all?
What does that mean?
What is a dispensary? But break it down.
So a dispensary, if you were to come into my shop, what you would walk through, first off, it's gorgeous and beautiful. It's my little happy place. But there's nobody there that has, you know, guns on their hips and things like that. You know, I like to take the Tiffany approach. If you walk into Tiffany's, nobody has a gun on their hips, or at least none that you can see. And, you know, you feel safe and you're enjoying the atmosphere. But if you think you're going to run out of there with a handful of diamonds, you got another thing coming, right? So we like to take that approach. But when you walk into the store, we have 460 SKUs. So the first question is what do you enjoy? So if you're looking for chocolate, we have chocolates by a French Parisian trained chocolatier. That's one of the five top chocolatiers in the nation. We have...
That's infused with cannabis.
That's infused with cannabis. We have sodas. We have root beer. We have energy shots. We have vape pens. We have... gummies. We have salve for your joints that will help you, you know, not have pain. We have oil, that the cannabis oil that everybody is talking about, with a little bit of THC in it.
So how does that work? Because I'm nervous about, actually, because I have arthritis, and you know, my joints
mm-hmm.
hurt, and especially with the weather changing.
Yep.
So I'll actually New York just started selling the CBD oil to put on. So I'll use that because I'm not ingesting it. But if I ingest it, what's the difference?
So there's two things. So one, even some of the cannabis salves and oil also have some THC into them. So here's the secret about CBD. CBD works effectively with a little bit of THC. For whatever the reason is, our bodies need the THC to unlock the door, to let CBD get in there and do its work. So
if it doesn't have any THC in it, then it's not going to be effective. It's just a placebo.
I'm not going to say that, but it is much more effective if it has a little tab of THC in it. Now, just because you have a little bit of THC in it does not mean that you are going to get high at all. It just means that this is what's happening
in
your body to unlock that
door.
It's
like the curl activator for the Jerry curl. You got to have that activator juice to get the...
activate it up.
Right.
It works with your endocannabinoid system because the plant itself has an endocannabinoid system that it works flawlessly with. But rubbing it on your hands to stop the pain in your joints will not cause you to pop positive on a test or anything like that. You will not feel high. You will not be high. But it is amazing how it immediately stops the pain from joint pain and inflammation. And it's because CBD and THC works on the cellular level to reducing inflammation.
Even more so than turmeric, which is the new thing, right? So turmeric, you know, anyway, I'm just trying to, okay, so you walk in to Simply Pure. Mm-hmm. It looks like Tiffany's. You have all of these, you go, there's somebody at behind the counter wearing a lab coat. I don't know. Are they properly dressed?
They have on their outfits.
And they look nice.
And we have budologists.
Budologist.
They're highly trained and they will be able to talk you through wherever it is that you want to feel. And if you say, look, I've got some joint pain, they're going to talk you through that. If you say, look, I'm in Denver this weekend because my girls are having a bachelorette party and here's what we want to do, they'll hook you up for that as well too. So we can walk you through whatever it is that you want to feel. And even when you're ingesting, people will come in and say, oh, you know, I got high in 1982 and it made me paranoid. Well, we can suggest something that will not make you paranoid. It is amazing what we know about this plant these days and what we can do with it.
There are people that use synthetic marijuana that is ruining lives. I know somebody personally whose child is not right now. What do we say about that?
And do you know what? I'm sad that they call it synthetic marijuana because there's nothing marijuana about it or cannabis about it. From what I understand, it's potpourri or something weird or some kind of chemical mix. I'm not even sure what it is, but it has nothing to do with marijuana whatsoever. It doesn't smell like it, doesn't look like it, doesn't taste like it, doesn't act like it. And I'm not sure why it got that title.
Marketing is everything.
I could probably come up with why they got the title.
Right.
But it's so sad. And this is the other reason for legalization as well, too. We are pushing young people into doing things that are harmful when the actual plant itself would be perfectly fine. So
right.
I will be happy to see legalization happen and no more synthetic marijuana.
Age cutoff? We're talking 21. With Wanda James. You 21 like alcohol?
21 like alcohol.
Okay. Yeah. Even though kids who need it for ailments should.
So the children that every state you have to have a recommendation from a doctor if it's medicinal cannabis to be able to buy medicinally. In Colorado, for anybody under the age of 18, they have to have two doctor recommendations. So once you get that recommendation, you're parents or you can actually get the oil. And we have children as young as 2 with epilepsy getting cannabis oil. So, you know, their parents will obviously administer that to them under their tongue. And we've literally seen a child having a grand mal seizure. And if you ever see any human being having a grand mal seizure, it's horrific. Mm-hmm. And to see a child have it, it's horrific. We've seen them actually put 2 drops of cannabis oil under their tongue, and within 20 seconds, you see their whole body relax. I mean, we see it. We have seen it happen. And so I don't know why it happens. I'm not a doctor, and I don't know if doctors know exactly why it happens, but we know it works.
So Wanda James, the dispensary part of it. All right. So it's basically a boutique or a store?
It's a store. So imagine a market.
Okay. So like Whole Foods or one of those world markets, but it's
not
a little smaller.
But not that big. Yeah.
Right.
But exactly. You would walk in, and we have all the different products sitting up there. And, you know, Gia wanted me to mention the fact that we have everything from vape pens to infused sex lube. I mean,
right.
For
and that's
women.
Important. I was talking to Al Harrington. We have One of our team members, Michelle Hope, is a sexologist, and a lot of women who have gone through menopause or who had ovarian cancer, whatever, they're not lubricating, and so she's looking. She wants to do these kits to send to these monthly kits, these sex kits, and she wants that to be a part of it. So I was talking to Al about actually getting some oil for her so that we can market that.
And there's
that.
A science behind it. You know, it increases blood flow. You know, which helps with pleasure and with lubrication. It's safer. I mean, these, once again, this is all natural. Now, I'm not somebody that's running around thinking this is a miracle plant, you know, like it's going to save the world from everything. But once again, it's a plant. And I'm sure there are probably billions of plants on the planet that probably do wonderful things. We just happen to know for the last 5,000 years that this one does some amazing things.
Yes, 5,000. And, you know, whether it's matcha or, as I just mentioned, turmeric, there's always roots and plants that becomes the magic thing. But you're right. This has been around since biblical times. They even have it in there, if those of you. And again, I only don't take it because I don't also eat red meat. I also don't do high fructose corn syrup. There's just things I just don't do. But I'm totally for this. Getting back to the money, actually getting to the money. We're talking with Wanda James, CEO of Simply Pure Dispensary in Colorado. So you can take in cash, but you can't put it in the bank. I mean, you're laughing, but this is like, because it's a federal.
We done built a whole house with walls of money.
Like, what is this, the Ozarks?
Exactly.
So, I mean, there's something really frustrating about that, but like, how do you manage? You are making lots of money and you cannot put it in a bank because federally it's illegal.
Well, it's kind of crazy. So, we actually do have a legal bank account in Colorado. We've been invited to have a bank account. So, reputable businesses will get invited to have a bank account, but we have to jump through hoops. For every dollar that we put into the bank, we've got to show that it was actually really purchased in our dispensary, and there's all kinds of paperwork and different things that we have to go through to show that this money is being put into the bank. We still don't have quote-unquote banking. We're just really allowed to vault our money there and write checks on it. I mean, I can't go get a credit card, I can't get a line of credit, I can't do any of the things that, you know, any other normal business would be able to do.
So why do this?
You know, that's my CPAs ask me that all the time. Like, why are you doing this? Honestly, because I believe in it that much. And when I've seen what's happened to my brother, when I've seen what's happened to people that have been incarcerated for this and whose lives have been ruined over this. Once again, like I said, I've been a connoisseur since I was 16. This plant means a lot to me, and I really believe in it. And because since I was 16 years old, I have been getting elevated with members of elected officials and doctors and lawyers and businessmen, there will come a day very soon where this is federally no longer illegal. And at that point, from a business standpoint,
you're going to be positioned.
It will make a lot of sense. And hopefully, even then, we can do more to be in that position to be able to make that happen.
I love the foresight of that. And, that, you know, we talk often on the Karen Hunter Show about the need to plan. You know, people, if you're not planning, you know, 5, 10, 50 years out beyond your existence here on this earth, you're doing your legacy a disservice, because there's a plan. This country was planned out perfectly. They knew all of the, even the abolishment of slavery, they had a plan for that as well, how to keep
it
going.
They had a plan for that, right?
So your planning is very brilliant, and I just want to say that. How do we get more people in, since the buy-in is so high? So to get a dispensary in Colorado was a lot, right?
Well, it is now, and there's a moratorium in Denver, so if you wanted a dispensary in Denver, you'd have to go buy an existing dispensary, which means you're going to have to offer somebody $5 million or more to be able just to get an existing dispensary in Denver,
Colorado. Now, is that money legitimate? If you sold your dispensary for $5 million, could you put that in a bank?
I could.
Okay.
And here's, I don't want to get too deep on the money, but here's what really upsets me up, too, is because the state of Colorado and the United States government puts the money in the bank. So the state of Colorado takes my drug money, of which I can't put in the bank. I give it to them, which they know good darn and well is from
good money,
from cannabis, and they put it in their bank account, but we can't put it in ours. But anyway, there's really something wrong
with that. We need legislators. I live in Jersey. Jersey's probably gonna legalize marijuana.
Yes.
How do I get a dispensary in New Jersey?
So they just put up the 6 licenses, which Simply Pure and Viola teamed up on, and we put in a license in New Jersey for those 6 licenses. Now, that's going to be vertically integrated, which means we'll be able to grow, distribute, and produce different forms of cannabis. But New Jersey is going to be voting very soon on doing what they're calling micro licenses. So they're going to put out a whole nother set of licenses for people who just want to have a dispensary or just want to have a grow facility or just want to have processing. Those would be a much lower entry fee. Will be easier to be able to get those licenses. And hopefully they're going to be looking at making sure that those are somewhat skewed to have more minority ownership, because the one thing that we don't have is fair ownership throughout the United States for people of color.
What would the process be if I... So the six licenses you have, you have corralled all six of them?
Oh, no. So we would hopefully get one of them.
One of six.
One of six. And then they, like I says, they're looking at probably another 95 licenses that they'll put out sometime before the end of the year. That will be the micro licenses that hopefully people of color can, you know, get their fingers on. But once again, it won't be like a, you know, $10,000 thing that you can go open up. You're still going to have
to be a lot of money.
You're going to have a team together. You're going to have a finance person on that team. You're going to have
all
gonna
of
have
that
to have a team.
And you still can't put your money in the bank. All right. I'm just saying.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's criminal. Actually, it's criminal.
And ancillary businesses, you know, the one
so
thing.
So
let's
talk about that, because we do, you know, you obviously listen to the show, which I appreciate. That made
me
smile.
I do.
It's weird, you know. You sit here every day and you just
do what you do.
Yeah, you do what you do because it's what you're supposed to do, right? Mm-hmm. So if people are listening, great. I'm doing it because to whom much is given, much is required. So I have to share the knowledge, right?
You motivate me. I get done with you, and I'm just out ready to take on the world. Well, and I'm like, I got Karen behind me now. Shoot.
And I am, right?
Yeah,
so
no,
that's
exactly.
That's what's super important. That's what's super important. But as I'm sitting here, I'm like, okay, how do... So we're doing a stock thing. And so we've had Angela Matthews on and Momentum. And so now people are investing in the stock. John Boehner. Lord have mercy. Like, I feel betrayed, right? It's, you know what I'm saying? It's like, so is the stock a good thing? Like, how do we get into what are the best ancillary businesses for somebody that is an elevator? Is that what you're calling them? The person that gets elevated?
Elevated, because I like being elevated more than I like being stoned or high.
I like
elevated
that.
That was sexy. So, you know, it's always interesting to me, John Boehner, who had no problem locking people up for a bunch of years when he was in Congress and then decides to come out and, you know, oh, now it's fine because I'm a part of it. I find that insulting, but that's a whole nother show. Once again, when you think about the Colorado Gold Rush back in the 1800s, right? How many people
actually... Colorado again, huh?
I know, we're back to Colorado again. It keeps happening there, right? How many people actually got rich off the Colorado Gold Rush? How many people actually found gold? Maybe 10, I don't know, but it wasn't a lot of people. But the people who got rich were the ones that sold picks and axes, were the ones that sold real estate, were the ones that, you know, did graphic design, I guess, whatever graphic design was back in the 1890s. So, you know, when people say, well, how do I get involved in this business? Bloom where you're planted. If you're a graphic designer, this industry needs graphic design. If you're an interior decorator right now, there is a whole new industry of people that do nothing but design dispensaries and design grow facilities. If you're a lighting expert, we need lights. If you're an electricity expert, we need electricity. I mean, whatever it is that you do in your life right now, you can do that in the cannabis space. And then once you get your foot in the door, then you can start to meet and move around. And if you wanted to own a dispensary, it makes it a lot easier doing it from the inside than from the outside trying to get in.
On the legislative side, you know, I've called for petitions to be signed and, you know, for people to put pressure on their lawmakers, their governors and their state legislators to make this a law or executive order. How do we put pressure on, you know, like I need records expunged. I need people to get, get released and then not have to check a box when they go apply for a job. Anybody that's been arrested for marijuana in this country should be immediately let out of jail.
Agreed.
Who's at the forefront of that we can use as a champion? Who's in Congress who's actually doing that work, Wanda?
So, you know, part of the other thing that I do is the Cannabis Global Initiative is another company that I've started. And what we like to do is work with politicians, municipalities to be able to talk about this. One of the members of Congress that I'm really sad is leaving because he's running for governor of the state of Colorado. But I ran his campaign in 2008, and it was Congressman Jared Polis. First openly gay member of Congress, but Jared has been a fighter in Congress and on the floor of Congress to legalize, to expunge records, to not arrest people, to get legislators out of the business of putting people in jail for this plant and for slave labor. He's now running for governor of Colorado, so we're really pulling for him to see that he is able to do this. But we do need to get out there and talk to legislators. Once again, when I talk to legislators, they always say, well, nobody ever calls me talking about cannabis issues, because it's us and we don't tend to make a lot of noise, right? But we need to talk about the fact that our brothers and our husbands and our sons and daughters, you know, this is not okay. And you're right, those records need to be expunged. We're having an expunction clinic on Saturday in Colorado, and I think a couple of other states are doing it as well too, as a thing on Saturday, because this needs to be brought to the forefront and we need to be fighting for this, because it makes no sense that my brother has to have a felony conviction from 17 years old for 4 ounces. And when he first told me that, just imagine you just meet your brother and he says, I'm a felon. The first thing that went through my head was he killed somebody. He hurt somebody real bad. And when he's like, well, I got caught with 4 ounces of weed, I was like, what? What? I mean, that doesn't even make sense to me. So we need to end this and we need to step up and talk about it.
Tell me the story of meeting your brother.
We didn't know that we had a brother, and my father.
How many of us are we?
There's me, and I have 4 brothers. So, my dad,
where do you fall in the birth order? I'm sorry, cause that all matters to me.
No. My brother is, he is right underneath me. So I have an older brother, then there's me, and then my brother Rick, and then I have 2 other younger brothers. So when I met him, unfortunately, I'd met him at my father's funeral. My father had gone to meet Rick and unfortunately passed away in his hometown, the day before he was supposed to meet him.
So he never got to meet his
he
son?
He never got to meet him.
How did he find out he had a son?
He got a phone call one day from his mom, and then Rick followed up with a call afterwards. And so we had a couple of calls for a few weeks and made plans to go down and meet him. And Dad had gone down there and stopped at his hometown. And my father actually had one of the best deaths ever, and he died surrounded by my dad's from Yoakum, Texas, a little tiny Texas town. And he was in what I call the old man jute joint, which was my uncle's little jute joint that had the, you know, little silly bar and the thing you put the coins in.
The jukebox.
And, you know, all the old guys with the matching belts and shoes and hats, you know, would all hang out in there. And my uncle told me, he says, Wanda, he says, your dad was on the dance floor with 2 women. And he says he was having the time of his life. And when he went down, he's like, we all thought it was a dance move at first. We didn't know that he wasn't getting back up. Wow. And I can't think of a better way for him to have passed away, but it was still shocking that it happened the night before he was going to meet my brother. So we buried my dad in Yoakum, Texas, and my brother came down for the funeral, and we had the chance to meet. And my brother now lives with me and has lived with me now in Colorado for the last 18 years, and he's been a part of my business and working together, and he's just like my dad.
He looks like your dad?
Acts like my dad, talks like my dad.
Wow,
walks like
so
my
it's
dad.
Like you have your dad.
It's kind
of
weird.
Of your dad with.
It's kind of weird.
If, because many people have had people in their lives incarcerated and impacted by this drug economy.
Oh, yeah.
What activated you? What made you decide to just, you know, what were you doing before? You said you were with President Barack Obama, and you're in business and you're doing these things. Yep. The shift into this space, where you're an activist now, Wanda James.
I am. The shift into this space, how do I say this and make it make sense? I grew up in Colorado and University of Colorado in a very white world. And when I met my brother, I started to understand that no matter what we accomplish, we are still treated as second-class citizens. And I had a real problem finding out that I was a second-class citizen. As a matter of fact, it pissed me off beyond all get-up. I still get horribly upset about it when I think about being a second-class citizen in this country. And I decided then, when we had the opportunity after, you know, when Barack Obama was president, I was like, you know, I've got a Rolodex here of U.S. senators and congressmen and everything else. I'm like, we're going to do this because they're not going to come at us like this. They're not going to touch us in the way that they have touched my brother. And it gives me great pride now that my brother is part of this with me and that he is making money at this. And my brother was a visionary. quite frankly. To me, he's no different than Bill Gates doing this in his garage in 1979, right? So my brother saw this coming, and I'm proud that we can work together on this right now, and that's what motivates me.
I love it. SimplyPure.com, SimplyPure.com. You can follow Wanda at Wanda L. James on Twitter. And if you're in Colorado, stop by the Simply Pure dispensary and get your elevation on.
Get your sex lube.
The sex lube. Yeah, okay. Whatever floats your boat. So you got special chocolate. You got the brownies. You have brownies and chocolate chip cookies. I'm sure you got all of that. The gummy bears and gummy worms and all of that.
We got all of that. You know,
tea and coffee.
It's tea. As a matter of fact, we carry tea from, there is a black woman by the name of Y. Livingston, that her regular tea, she's a tea person, but her teas are in Whole Foods Market. And now she does infused teas on the cannabis side.
Now, you know, I'm a green tea-aholic.
Oh, no.
I'm a teetotaler.
When New York is legal, we're going to have to get you some.
All right.
Some
I might be open to the tea. Listen, I feel like life is to be lived, right?
Yeah.
And to experience different things. And,
you
know, I've always informed the things that I wouldn't do based on the negative experiences I've seen with people. And I'm like, I'm never doing cocaine. I don't like how y'all act when you do cocaine. I'm not doing that.
You people are drunk.
Yeah.
I know. Look at you.
And I'm very judgmental. Y'all are drunk. My roommate's passed out on the floor with her face on the stairs.
That?
I'm like, who wants to?
I don't want to do that.
And you're throwing up.
Yeah.
Who wants to do that?
No,
I'm not doing it. So, and then my other roommate forgetting things. I'm talking and you don't remember stuff. I need to. I have a hard enough time remembering stuff.
Doing?
I need to not compound that. But
microdosing.
I will take some tea.
Microdosing and the tea.
Microdosing.
And we got grandmas in Jamaica that will, you know.
Well, the Jamaicans understand the plant.
They do. They understand it. They understand it. They chew on it for. I mean, it's a plant.
All right. Well, listen, Wanda. I want to continue the conversation, and more importantly, I want you to help me help this vast audience that we have understand what's at stake, but also empower them to go get it because it's something to go get. Let me thank you for being in the gap, sitting in this position and doing the work that you're doing. But we're going to call on you to do more, because as more and more of this gets legalized and federally as it gets legalized, we need a blueprint.
Yep.
So I'm going to ask you to help me build it. So.
I'm there.
Thank you.
I am so there.
I appreciate
you. Thank you so much.
Wanda James, y'all, CEO, Simply Pure. Go to simplypure.com. Check her out at Wanda L. James on the Twitters. And thank you for being a part of this today.
Thank you for having me. This honor of my lifetime. So thank you very much.
That's a lot.
It is.
I'll accept it.
This is cool.
I'll accept it.
Cool.
Appreciate you. All right, folks, you were listening to me and Wanda in the Hub. We'll see you next week.